Welcome to Visit Julian Podcast. We've got some atmospheric music in the background today. So today we're actually doing another podcast on an event in Julian, and that is the Lilac Festival. And the Lilac Festival kind of changes dates a little bit each year because, you know, Mother Nature decides when the flowers bloom, right? So we have Jesse Cross from Fort Cross, and he's going to talk to us about the Lilac Festival. Welcome, Jesse.
Welcome. Yeah, so we... tell you a little bit about myself first.
Yeah.
We came from a ranch out in San Bernardino way, and we bought Woody Barnes's old ranch. So I read a little bit on the book last night so I could talk about him. He's kind of like the Lilac King.
Yeah, and he's also a revered character in Julian altogether.
Yeah, in fact, I was reading the book. It's the longest running continual ranch in San Diego County.
Oh, wow.
Is Manzanita Ranch. And so we bought part of the old Manzanita Ranch when we moved out, I think, about 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know a thing about lilacs. I was raised in the apple area on another ranch, so knew a lot about apples, and I knew we wanted to live where there was apples so we could do the same kind of business we were doing out there. And so on walks the property this guy called Lilac John, and he's kind of a character around Julian, but he's a great guy. Anyway, he's taught me a lot and told me a lot of stories about Woody, so I thought I better buy that Woody Barnes book and read about it.
Mm-hmm. Is that the book that was written by his son?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then his mom also wrote a book, too. I read it a long time ago. But she was originally worked in the hotel up here.
Mm-hmm.
And the first lilacs were planted in 1920 out there at their ranch. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know when the first lilac was planted in June.
Sure,
probably
sure.
Earlier than that. But and he was a botanist. So he went to school for botany and just loved flowers. And so he actually has his own lilac that's there on the ranch that's actually in the book. He was president of the Lilac Society. And
oh, wow. So you really have taken on a legacy at that place.
And that's why I figured I better read and take a few notes here before I came over the podcast, because I'm like, I don't want to get the names wrong. But he developed this variety called the Alice Franklin, and that was the names of his parents, Alice and Franklin. And it's like a dark purple lilac.
Mm.
And the one that we're famous for that won a lot at the fairs is the... Victor Lemoyne French double and the white Madame Lemoyne double. And those have twice as many flowers. Normally lilacs have 4 petals, but those have 8 and they're big blooms.
So
they've won quite a few awards.
And those are at your
they're at our property. Farm. Yeah, it's a little confusing because Manzanita Ranch is 2 places. It's at Pine Hills, was the original ranch. And then they moved it down to Winola, and I was just reading in the book, they used to have a line a mile long along the highway from Manzanita Ranch, or from the Winola, what was Julian Station, all the way up toward Julian. They moved it down there because there was a lot more growing area for apples and pears.
Sure, sure.
And he originally started with pears. It was just everything was pears up until like 1950s.
Don't tell anyone in Julian when I tell you this.
Uh-huh.
I much prefer pears to apples, but that's our secret.
Yeah, I was surprised to read that all those buildings at Julian Station were, a lot of them, were built for housing pears and making cider.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were the 2 big things that they did. And his dad, you know, worked for the Farm Bureau, so he had a regular job. But then they kept buying up more and more land
property.
for growing pears. And they owned from Julian Station all the way to the base of Oaken Mountain. That used to be all pears and apples at one point.
Wow.
So
cool.
Yeah.
So the Lilac Festival, I think, has really gained a lot of popularity. I get phone calls here at the Visitor Center, when are the lilacs? When are the lilacs? And I'm like, look, go to fortcross.com. And what I always tell everybody is, if you want to be the first to know, sign up for the email newsletter, because I know that as soon as the lilacs are ready, Doreen's going to be blasting out the email, come get the lilacs.
Oh, yeah. So, it stresses her out sometimes because... As like I was reading in the book too, that it's had the same problem for years and years. They can come out for a week, they can come out for a month.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the weather.
At least it's not one of those famous flowers that only blooms one night, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
But the neat thing about them is they need 1,000 hours of frost.
Mm.
So there was a gentleman that dedicated his whole life to making a variety that would grow in lower elevations.
Mm-hmm.
And he succeeded, but it would never flower and smell the same as the lilacs do up here. And so that's why people come up here for lilacs. And Woody figured that out. He had the apple business going. He thought, how do I get people to stop in the spring?
Sure.
So he planted all the daffodils and lilacs and all that kind of stuff so people would stop in the spring. And he would send out postcards to every single customer You'd say, here, come get your lilacs. There's a limited supply, you know, to get them.
Right.
To drive up and get their lilacs. And then they would buy their apple pie and, you know, whatever else they're going to get.
So. And that's the thing about Julian, too, with the influx of new people in the last decade. Just more things, new things to do. And, so the Lilac Festival, from what I understand, is going to run weekends in April.
Yep.
I know that Doreen's a little worried about whether or not they'll be available on the 2nd or the 3rd.
It looks like they will. We've been getting some warmer weather, and we've been kind of on our website up, or our Facebook page up, uploading them, opening up.
It looks like
it's going to be close. I think we're going to be about right on for the full bloom. Mm-hmm. And when people... A lot of people want to come up and they want to see all the lilacs. And I'm like, well, we cut them and sell them as soon as they're up. But we're going to try to leave more on the bushes in a couple areas. And that was one thing she wanted me to talk about. She's coming out with this new kind of treasure hunt type deal where you take one clue and you find another clue and you go around until you get a prize at the end.
Oh, cool.
We have about 10 varieties that will be blooming. The single old-fashioned ones are the most hardy, probably the best lilac, because they last the longest.
What color did you say those were?
Those are purple.
Purple, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then we have some whites and some pinks and some dark blues, but mostly purple. And she wanted me to say, we'll also have our archery tomahawks and slingshots open for the adventure package. And then the other thing we'll be doing is hayride. I'll be playing some... All join hands in a great big circle now. One big circle. I'll do some square dance and jug band shows. I have the kids play the old time instruments. We'll have candle dipping, some purple candles for lilacs. We'll have the animals, a bunch of new baby goats and all kinds of babies. And then, of course, I'm really into reptiles.
Right.
So we'll have all the reptiles show out. That's for the package deal. And then general admission, if you just want to walk around, it's $5. And you can go through the lilac maze. That treasure hunt thing I was talking about, and just lawn games and more, and early bird discounts, she said, and 25% military discount, and I think that's all I got. We're the largest lilac farm in California that sells fresh cut bouquets.
Yeah, to the public.
To the
right.
public, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing, too, and it's the last thing on the sheet, is make sure that we let people know that in order to guarantee a spot in the Lilac Festival, you really should purchase it online beforehand at fortcross.com.
Oh, yeah. That helps us out immensely, because if we don't know how many people are coming, we don't have enough staff, and then it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it actually helps to... increase the experience of the visitor. If you get everybody to pre-register, like you said, then you know what number of staff you need, and you provide a better experience when they come. So it's really to their benefit to pre-register. So the adventure package you talked about, there's just a way to spend hours at your place having a great time. And so for those who love Julian and want to come in and get pie or maybe have lunch at their favorite restaurant or what have you, there's plenty of time for them to do that. But they're not just walking in and out of your place. There is really a lot to do there and a lot to enjoy. Candle dipping takes some time, for example, right?
Yeah. And it's 12 acres. And like I said, there's about 6 acres of lilacs to walk through. And then there's another 4 or 5 acres of an old Christmas tree farm, which got taken over by Oaks, but that's where we do the adventure area, so the kids can wander through there and make forts. And we try to encourage, you know, the kids to have fun and do some of the stuff they can't do at the park. You
right.
know,
a little creative
play. Yeah, I'll have a lot of creative stuff out for them to do. And then, some kids can spend all day on the tar swing.
Kids are kids. I had something in my head. Oh, reptiles. I want to talk about reptiles. Mostly because my son got obsessed with for a period of time when he was young, and so we had them for years, the bearded dragons. I am like the bearded dragon, like, I love them. I want to squeeze them. You have a great bearded dragon,
yeah,
right?
We do. What's cool about him is you can, if the kids will hold a worm, and if they usually will.
Oh, right.
He'll eat a worm right out of there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't bite anybody. He does poop on people, so yeah, be careful about that.
You know that saying, poop happens, right?
Yes, so I got a birdie. We got a really big red-tail boa, which we just started getting out, where we'll have all the kids, you know, have a whole bunch of kids hold him to get him out if he's in the right mood.
Oh.
You have to have a lot of reptiles because, you know, sometimes they're moody.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's like, okay, today's not the day for this one, but let's try and see if this guy tries to kill us.
We just got some new sulcatas donated. sulcata tortoises, and they're really
cool. Oh, cool. Yeah. And, they ones that will grow really big?
Yeah, and they're already pretty big. In fact, when it gets warm, I pull them out. I have a heated reptile room. So it's warm, I got to pull them out. And when it's cold, I got to put them back. And
sure.
They're about 150 pounds, and I gotta pull them out today actually, and let them outside for a while, and put them back in. So.
We used to have a neighbor when we lived in Lakeside. She had big turtles or tortoises, and they would burrow in her backyard, and like for months you had no idea where they were. Yeah. And I was like, I hope my turtle or tortoise hasn't disappeared.
Yeah, I did the same thing for the rabbits as they did the turtles. I had to bury wire under the ground so they wouldn't burrow, and I did the same thing for the rabbits, although I found the rabbits get out a lot easier than the tortoises. We have baby bunnies too.
Finally. It's funny that you just said rabbit and tortoise at the same time, and then it was like the tortoise and the hare.
yeah I was told by a few people that they do get along in petting zoos too. Like a lot of people put their sulcatas with their goats and with their rabbits, and they get along fine. We haven't done that yet because I'm like, well, I don't know.
Right. You don't want to learn the hard way. Yeah. That's something. Because are they snapping type tortoises? Or?
No, but they are not too smart. Like if you go in there with painted toenails and flip-flops.
Oh.
Anything colorful, they love fruit. And you can overfeed them fruit. If you feed them too much fruit, their shells will grow funny.
Yeah.
So they're supposed to have like 90% grass and about 10% fruit.
Mm.
But if you go in there with flip-flops, and they're so slow, it's easy to move. You just got to be watching.
Right, yeah.
But... we used to let the kids feed them by hand, but they get the hands too much. So we just have them drop it on the ground.
Yeah,
it doesn't really, you know, hurt too bad, but, you know, it can traumatize a little one.
Right, and then they have a turtle fear for the rest of their lives. Who needs that?
Yeah. And I'm working on, this probably won't be open for Lilac Festival, hopefully by the summer, Turtle Town, which is an enclosed area, because I have a problem with the raccoons. The raccoons come and eat all the chickens, all the rabbits, everything. So I built an enclosed area for my turtles, and because tortoises live on land, you know, turtles live in water.
Right.
And the reason nobody keeps turtles is so messy to clean up after them and change things. So I built like an indoor little pond area, and that's easy to clean so that we can get a bunch more turtles and the kids can play with the turtles. And I put a couple real small shallow ponds to put some catfish and stuff in. So hopefully by the summer have
That'd be great. When we had pigs and we lived down in the desert, you know, it gets really hot and the pigs love water. So we ended up like digging a hole and then putting concrete around and filling that up, and it's just really, it's pretty shallow, but you could hose it out because, you know, in the desert that it algae and it starts to stink. And so it's like, then we just bought baby pools, and after they tore them apart, we just threw them away.
It's just
a baby pool.
Yeah, that's what we use, baby pools.
And
These, that's why it took me so long to finish, is I had to design it so you can hose it out, clean it out.
Right.
And put new water in all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put it on a slant, and maybe so it's not... Hopefully he doesn't do that, but ponds are always tricky.
And it's also a lot harder where I live than your place, so you're good. Mm-hmm. So I know we're moving away from talking about the Lilac Festival. So, but the thing is, people need to know that there's so much to experience at your place. Mm-hmm. The lilacs are something to get excited about this time of year, but you guys are a great place to visit often. I know you sell lilacs. Now, let's talk about like COVID, what you did, which was really great. You basically sold them, you know, curbside type thing, you know, and you know,
people honk at our door and we jumped out the door. There's your
because you pre-sold them, and so I'm assuming this year, you know, people can actually, you know, meander around. So, but you do sell. Talk about the bushels or bouquets.
Yeah, so that's something we're gonna add to this year. Doreen loves to do all the bouquets herself,
and she does such a good job.
And so what she wants to do is she's gonna set up a little roped off area where people can watch her do the bouquets, because it's kind of an art form.
Sure.
Where to put them on top, how to make a nice bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's going to kind of be doing that. Then she's going to give a little talk every once in a while talking about, you know, how you can smash the stems and give them longer life, and you want to keep them in cold water. But she's going to kind of give a little lesson in making bouquets from lilacs.
Oh, that's great.
The lilacs we sell too, you'll find a lot of lilacs on the side of the road or from other places. If they have really short stems, they're just not going to last.
Sure.
How you get long stems is be cutting them year after year after year and watering them a lot in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the goal, is to have a really long stem that you can cut to keep rejuvenating them, because they aren't a super long-lasting flower.
So you get like a long stem, and then after a week you can cut it,
smash it, and then it will come back.
Got it.
A little bit longer, or the longer the stem you have, the more water it can take up.
Sure, sure.
And last longer, and so you change the water. And they're They're a finicky plant. That's why they're not a finicky plant. They're actually a really hardy plant, but the flower, we have to change the water out in the buckets every day, and it's, yeah, that's a
lot. So it's a hardy tree, but the flowers are delicate, just like myself.
Yes. Like all flowers are delicate, but it wouldn't be the most delicate flower, but it wouldn't be the most hardy flower.
Hardy flower, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because they like the cold weather. So.
And I guess a little bit, too, because of how, let's just say the word delicate they are, or whatever. That's one of the reasons why they're so precious and people can't wait to see them. Because they're not, you know, they're not the dandelions or what have you that we see all the... Dandelions are those things you wish on, aren't
they? Yeah.
Okay, well, or poppies or whatever. Yeah. It's something that... We have a tendency as a culture, I think, or I know that I do, something that's there all the time that should be appreciated, you don't appreciate it because it's there all the time. Yeah, so the rarity.
Yeah. And we have people drive up every year that come back. They've been coming since the Woody Barnes days, and this is what they do in Lilac. It reminds them of Michigan or New York State, where the Upper New York State has, I guess, the biggest Lilac Festival and the most lilacs. So, reminds them of back home, so they want to come up and get their bouquet and take it down.
Right.
And if it gets over 80 degrees for 2 or 3 days, then we're like calling everybody, all right, last week.
Yeah, totally. So. I think that's one of the other things that's super great about Julian is the reminiscent of the past. Oh, this is what I was going to say, is the four seasons. So that's what makes it special up here because we get that kind of cold weather. I mean, this isn't a flower you can grow in Mission Beach, for example. Yeah. So,
Exactly. And that's kind of brings us back to, I sell a lot of potted lilacs, but I have to give the disclaimer, the beach actually does better than like Poway or Escondido.
Mm.
And they'll grow anywhere. But whether they'll flower and have big flowers, that's the question. So I have a lot of people, I want to buy that. Well, I'm like, well, you may not want this type of lilac.
Right.
It really needs the cold weather. So they'll say, no, I'll put ice on it. And okay, it does work if you want to put ice on it. Sure. But that's a...
That's a lot of commitment. Yeah. Well, that's nice of you to not just be all about the whatever the price per bucket. And let's talk about that in a minute. But to really educate people and say, yeah, I'd love to sell you this because it helps my business grow. But I want you to be happy. So this might not be the lilac for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the same with apples. In fact, this week we have all our bare root apples. So she just put a post if anybody wants any bare root apples. We just got to order in from Oregon, but it's more for Julian locals because I did buy a couple of varieties that she can grow down in San Diego, but most of the varieties are for up here. The climate up here.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the price on those is $25 for a 5 gallon.
Okay, and
that's the lilac.
The lilac. So 5 gallon.
$25.
Is it called a bucket? Is
that what you 5 gallon bucket.
Okay.
And then the big ones, the 15 gallon, are $65.
Oh wow. But that's a tree.
Yeah. And some of those, and the reason they cost so much is some of them I've been watering for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So they take a while to get going. And lilacs are slow growers too. Mm-hmm. They're slow growers, but they're really hardy. That's why you'll see them all over Julian. Mm-hmm. Once they get established, they don't actually need to be watered. They do better if they're watered.
Right.
But they'll survive if
they're not. Yeah. Cause I was talking to Stacy, who owns a little apple orchard right by the post office.
Mm-hmm.
And it was last year, I think, but with the weather we have up here, she says, we haven't watered this orchard in 30 years. Like the 70s.
That's the last one by the high school?
Across from the high school. Oh, wow. Yeah, because the water, it just sustains. But, it's getting harder and harder. But she's like, for 30 years, that thing is taking care of itself. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah, when we bought the property... it's like I said, Lilac John came with it because he'd been picking the apples. And he's still, we do sell, 90% of our lilacs go to Costco and Home Depot because we kind of have a competition with John. We try to sell as many as we can to the public. That's what we want to get the public up.
Right.
So we cut out the middleman. But if you don't come get them, they all go down to Costco and Home Depot. And then he fills up a van and he goes down to Carlsbad Market and he runs them all over. And in fact, Woody Barnes' family still does the same thing. They only do wholesale.
Mm.
But they'll, and there's a place in Mesa Grande, and they all do the same thing. I think Mesa Grande's all go to L.A., and they'll get up early in the morning and take them all to the flower market.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I lost track of thought. He was going to, they hadn't been watered for, I think he said 5 years, because it was just too costly, and our fellow wasn't making enough money
sure.
on it. So he We started watering them, and it's taken some years to get them back, but they're coming back a lot better.
Well, yeah, that's good. And because you saw the potential of a lilac festival, people love it. So yeah. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, the bouquets, what are they run? Are there different prices for bouquets? Or?
Oh, she didn't put that on.
Yeah, there. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang
I guess
it,
they'll have to go on the website. I think, too, she's going to do pre-orders on the website, too, just to guarantee that you get a bouquet.
Right, because people don't want to drive all the way up there and then leave without their bouquet. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so I believe she's going to do that. Don't quote me on that, but I know. And I think she does something even like $10 or $20 a bouquet. Okay. And there's a certain amount of stems.
Sure.
We usually count the stems in the bottom. Uh-huh. So there may be 2 or 3 flowers on each stem. There may be one big flower.
Right, got it, yeah.
And that's how they do the wholesale. They'll do 12 to 15 and they'll take them down. They sell them in bundles. And
got it. Like
that. Yeah. And then, you know, so we'll be bundling. And we also have, forgot to mention, we do I think we're going to do vase painting as our craft, or you can paint a little tree house, a little birdhouse. But some people like to paint the vase and then they take the vase home.
Yeah, and that's a memory from Julian. Yeah. I'm in the same train of thought as you guys in that area, that the small little memoirs or souvenirs that people can take home, they remember their experience up here in Julian. So that's why I paint rocks, you know. Yeah. And you know, you put them out there because they live in, you know, they may throw it in their garden, and you know, it may, I decoupage the top so it may last for a couple of years, but that's their memory.
Memory,
so
yeah.
The base is really cool, and then of course the hoedown will also be a memory. So
yeah and I love to have anybody that wants to bring their own instrument up come play.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
and I'm always inviting friends to play if they want to, just to put out a tip jar and play there. And yeah
the music's super fun. Dorian and I talked about that, so on the last podcast, so we don't have to get into it too much, but I always think it's super fun. So I'm gonna be quiet and I'm gonna let you, I don't know, go. You go, girl.
All right, well, let me get my pick out here. We'll do a little song.
All right, cool.
Well, I come from another mountain one day, come on down to the Julian State. I'm making all this up right now, so it's not very good. We bought a little ranch, had a lot of lilacs on it, started trying to figure out what to do with them. So the first, we just put them down by the road and said, leave a dollar. That didn't work too well. So we came up with the same idea we did on the other ranch a lot of years. We'd lose money on our apples, but we'd make it back on selling people hot dogs. Now, we don't do any hot dogs or any food, but
we did
notice it's great to have lilacs there, because then people come on up and stay a while and have a hoedown. So if you're in your seat right now, you can clap your hands to the beat here. Go. Now stand on up out of your seat, grab yourself something to eat, maybe a bagel, pizza, whatever you want. Then go on down to fortcross.com and make a reservation and come along to Julian.
Love it. Thank you so much. Yeah, this was a fun podcast. I knew it would be. I'm so glad I sent the message, bring your guitar.
Good.
I knew that would be an enhancement. All right, so we're speaking to everyone who's listening. FortCross.com. You're looking at the month of April for the Lilac Festival, but FortCross.com has something to offer just about year-round, so check out their website. Subscribe to their email newsletter, and as soon as you log on the site, within a couple of minutes, it pops up, or a couple seconds, to subscribe, so it's real easy. And now I'm talking to Doreen. If we miss something, we're sorry.
Yeah,
We tried really hard.
I'm looking over the sheet, and I think I'm glad you got both. We got it all, and we're open before Lilac Festival, too, so even that weekend of Gold Rush Days, we'll be open, but you do need a pre-reserve, so you can have the tickets, and we'll be doing our regular tour, which is animals, reptiles, tomahawk, slingshots.
Yeah.
And if we have bouquets, we'll be selling them, but we won't be doing all the other activities.
Got it. All right. Well, thanks so much, Jesse. It was fun.
Yeah.
All right. Signing out.